sacrifice, we'll reconvene. We're item 9C, community development. Presentation of the 2023 year end. 12 years.
Yes, sir. Board of Supervisors, hello to you, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. We'll see if we can expedite this a little bit, a few things to carry on here, though. As you mentioned, community development, year end, and also goals for 2024. Got the team back here that will be presenting each of their divisions. Mr. Glenn's Jock and C has brought a lot of stability to the building department. Very proud of that. Mr. Russell, he'll be doing the environmental health. He's our guru out there in the field. He knows the dirt everywhere in this county. And Haley Lang with the Agile Mind, she's done a great job with the multitude of interesting projects that we've had through the year. That said, I am going to take the time to throw out some kudos for the staff. I don't know if you heard or not, but there was an incident with Mr. Ottenberg in the house. He's lucky to be here, and he wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the activities of the staff. Andrea Fox jumped in there, and she was determined that he's not ready to leave yet, and her determination fell through. She came through with it. Right? So John's a big guy. We had the building department staff over there helping handle him. We had folks from the public health come in and help and assist. Fortunately, he's still with us here today, and continue to contact with him. He's got an appointment today with the cardiologist to figure out what's going on there. But John is John. He just as soon be at work 2 days from yesterday. So he wants to rock and roll. So we'll get on him. I'll get on the team that we have. So. With that, we'll be going in alphabetical order, building, environmental health, and planning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair Kopsak. My name is Glenn Shockinson, Deputy Director of Building. Just going to do a brief overview of the last year in building department. Next slide, please. This is our current staffing level. We have 5 current full-time staff consisting of Deputy Director, a buildings plans examiner, building inspector 3, and 2 building inspector 2s. We have 1 extra help, retiree building inspector 3, and we are actively engaged in retaining this established qualified staff. Just to note there, in November of 2022, the CAO and the BOS approved 4 additional building department positions. Of the 4 approved, 2 were ultimately able to be filled. And I'd like to thank you all for the support there, because that's what's going to make the rest of this possible. Historically, prior to the above reference action, plan check review times have been in the 6 to 8 month range, and for some periods of time in excess of 8. Next slide, please. Building department tasks, plan review and approval for current code compliance, permit issuance and review projects, inspection of permitted construction projects throughout the county. We answer code and permitting related questions to the public, provide technical input in various high profile issues throughout the county, assisting ongoing fire rebuild efforts, dam removal project components, assist code enforcement department with cannabis cases relating to building code issues, and assist planning department with on-site inspections of buildings and accessory structures as they relate to vacation rental applications. Next slide, please. Building department statistics for 2023. Fees collected, $425,273, and that's quite a substantial increase over 2022, which was $381,000. Valuations of permits issued 2022, $21,800,000, compared to 2023, which was $27,047,000. Permits issued in 2023 was 331. Next slide, please. Building department inspections year over year, 2021, 2,712. 2022, 2,878. And 2023, 3,231. Next slide, please. This is a graph showing fire rebuilds. To date, 66,000 of fees have been waived for the Slater fire. That's 7,000 was waived for McKinney. Well, fees waived this year, or this past year, 7,000 for McKinney and 16,000 for the Slater fire. Next slide, please. Plan checked permits and ready to be issued that have not been picked up is 40. Approximate permit value of those 40 is 46,182. Approximate value of the uninsured permits is 3,565,130. Next slide, please. Permitting totals, single family dwellings. Looks like we had 3 final, 38 submitted, and 39 issued. Residential alterations, 3 final, 107 submitted, and 117 issued. Next slide, please. Community totals, accessory buildings, 88 submitted, 65 permitted, 3 final, commercial, 69 submitted, 83 permitted, and 23 funded.
Can I interrupt you just quickly?
Sure.
The final part's kind of puzzling me. I don't get it.
So sometimes
and this is over the course of a year.
This is over the course of, this can be prior permits issued. They take years to final. Nobody finals them in the same year, so they can be
okay.
Year over year.
Okay.
So that's just going to be a sum of what got finaled in 2023, not representative of what got issued in 2023.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
But why is the final so small comparatively to what's being issued?
Because a lot of times they can still be in work, not finished, ongoing. Commercial especially takes a long time to final the projects.
Okay. All right.
Same thing with houses. It can be up to the homeowner when they're going to final it. They can want to get it done in a year and final it or pay 15.
Okay. Thank you.
Next slide, please. Permitting totals, electrical service, 131 were submitted. See, 145 were final, and 145 were
submitted. Looks like.
I think 131 were submitted, 145 were issued, and 28 were final. ADU conversions, 23 were submitted.
I think the green is the submitted.
Is green submitted?
Yeah, at least that's what it looks like.
There's a new color one. And 6 were final of the ADUs. Down at the bottom we have completed expired. Those are permits that we issue when somebody's permit has expired due to whatever circumstances arose in their life process. They'll come in and submit to have that permit to complete their expired permit, and then we'll reissue that. It's kind of like a second chance to finish your project. We had 24 of those. Next slide, please. Challenges, we still have some challenges with dam removal, not nearly as much as in 2022. The fish hatcheries are finishing out the demo that we issued out there at the other Copco 2 sites. Various other sites are finishing. We don't foresee a lot there, but there's still permits that they'll come to us for permitting. And then we still have county wildfires ongoing. Kenny Mill, Mountain, Happy Camp Complex, still working with wildfire victims to get their plans checked, permits issued, and ongoing construction inspection. There's been a constant over the recent past, and unfortunately, probably for the foreseeable future. Goals for 2024.
So, real quick, I have a question. So, all the plans are issued. I know we came up with a set of pre-approved plans. Are those being utilized at all in the fire?
So, we anticipate from the contractor getting those plans to us with all their corrections this week.
Okay.
So, we'll be able to start releasing those to the public within the next week or so.
Okay, so that is
the process. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to continue to maintain the current qualified staff, which took us a while to build. We're glad we're there. Reduce average permit plan check review times. You can see that the big number there is currently it's 3 weeks.
That's a big improvement from what it was.
It is.
So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. And thank the board and CAO's office for the support there. But yeah, we're very happy with the people that we have and look forward to continuing there.
Well, I appreciate the goal is to get it even streamlined even more.
Is the online implementation helping with that?
We will have that for initial submittals, and oddly enough, that's mostly for cell sites. For cellular tower sites are the entities that are mostly taking advantage of the portal. But it's still there, but that's
right.
who is learning to use that, and that's where they'll get their permits in initially on that. Portal. And then that's at the bottom, successful information of county pre-approved plan program for this year. And that concludes my update.
Any questions for building?
Thank you. I see that's a marked improvement from what it's been in the last few years.
So, yeah.
Appreciate the good work.
Only question.
Go ahead.
The only question I had is on new building permits, if you made any progress on working with the CAL FIRE. 4290 clearing stuff.
We've been proceeding as we've always done, is where they go to them and get sign off with their plans. I know they've talked to us about having us being like spearheading on our website maybe for their timber harvesting plans and everything that they require. And we have their brochures that we hand out when people come in. But it's kind of hard for us if somebody has an inception of their project. They're mostly going to come to us after their plans have been drawn.
So, a follow-up then, are we inspecting prior to final, or are they?
And for their 4290 requirements, we at the county inspect to our zoning and building code requirements. I don't think that they have anybody that inspects to their 4290 requirements. I know they have them, but we met with them before, and they don't have anybody that I'm aware of that goes out and checks the setbacks. But we actually have our county zoning ordinance that we have to check to.
It's pretty concerning to me because we're in essence saying that you're free to habitate this dwelling with a known hazard if it's not abated. Just me. Keep bringing it up.
Okay, anyone else?
I'll follow up with Rick.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Once, twice? Nobody online?
Showing none.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's listen. I guess we're going to hear from Environmental Health.
Hi, I'm Dan Wessel with Environmental Health. And I'm here to report 2023, and we'll start out with our historical staff levels versus the current. We can look at our historical levels in the past, basically being from 1990 to 2008, where we had a director and we had 9 registered environmental health specialists. Then in 2008, we lost a manager. A land use manager was cut from the budget due to economic downturn. Currently, we've got environmental health director plus full-time staff, and that would be 2 registered environmental health specialists. So we've got some new people that are undergoing training and pursuing their registration
right now,
which was about the same as last year. We actually got somebody that came in as a trainee, they got registered and moved on, and we acquired another trainee. So in a nutshell, we're operating at about two-thirds the staff of what we've normally had. And so our environmental health, we've got three main categories. We've got consumer protection, hazmat, and land use. Consumer protection has some tasks for restaurant inspections, which are foods, cottage foods, pools and spas, temporary events, body art, tattoo parlors, essentially. Vector, it's kind of an educational thing. Vector would be kind of like the mosquitoes that transmit West Nile virus. Rabies and housing. Consumer protection totals, the permits that we issued in 2023 are about 374 for foods, 95 for temporaries, CFOs, which is our cottage food kitchens, 25, events, 30, pools and spas, 100, and tattoo parlors, 8. Out of all the permits, we get out there and we do inspections on the permitted facilities. And we did about 820 inspections last year. So we're up a little from 2022, where we did about 750. I'd say the height of environmental health back in 2008, we had all senior environmental health specialists. They came up with 1,400 inspections that year. The next program we've got is hazardous materials. Hazmat, their bread and butter is to permit and inspect the CUPAs, which is the Certified Unified Program Agency, called the Hazmat Inventory. And so inspections are annual and triannual. We could say annual inspections, examples of that are underground petroleum fuel tanks, gas stations, and above ground storage tanks, AST, would be like every 3 years inspection. And the hazmat team is constantly working on the HMBPs, which is the hazardous materials business plans. So any business in the county that falls above the regulatory thresholds has to have a plan, and we're constantly working on those to keep them updated. The hazmat section also deals with our landfills, transfer stations, emergency response, basically spills on the highway for the most part, fire cleanups, and we're becoming increasingly involved with pulling off hazmat off illegal cannabis sites. And so the totals in the county, we've got around 500 CUPAs. Last year, 320 were inspected. And so we're up from 2022, where about 250 of those were inspected. We had 16 responses to incidents, which is down from 2022. We had 27 in 2022. Fire response, we got about 500 staff hours in with the Happy Camp complex. So we're really fortunate that we didn't burn as bad. We had around 1,365 hours in 2022 with the McKinney Mill and Mountain Fire. Illegal cannabis, this numbers kind of span roughly from 2020 to the present. We pulled 433 pounds of solid powder illegal pesticides off some of the grow sites, 101 cans of fumigant, and 48 bottles of liquid pesticide mixture. And some of these pesticides are being put back into like plastic bottles there. You don't really know what you're dealing with on the surface, but we kind of do. Then we've got our land use section with where basically we're dealing with sewage and water in the unincorporated part of the county where you can't just hook up to city services. So it's mostly on-site sewage disposal for building permits. You know, water supply, you know, 99.9% comes in the form of wells. And then we inspect the very small water systems, 5 to 14 connections. The land use total, we issued 136 septic permits versus 101 in 2022. 35 were new, 55 were repair or replacement systems. We get a lot of failed leach lines, 6 septic tanks. Well permits, we had 98 versus 142 in 2022. 50 of the wells were domestic, 2 were ag, 1 was public, 28 were monitoring and soil bores, and 5 were for deepenings, 3 were for others. And we had 14 dry wells versus 33 dry wells in 2022. Water systems, we've got just over 40 water systems that we inspect and sample quarterly. Grants, we had the Farm and Ranch Grant, which is funding from CalRecycle for the cleanup of illegally dumped material on farm or ranch property. The limit is $200,000 or $50,000 per site. We got the grant award last year for just over $150,000 for 4 sites. This year, the competitive bid was awarded to Mike Peters Incorporated for 4 sites. And presently, the 4 sites have been cleared for asbestos abatement. They're now in the process of removing the tires and removing the junk vehicles. And then the next phase of the project will be the trash removal. And then the sites need to either be fenced or signs posted that this was a hazmat site. So it's going to be accomplished by signage. I guess our challenges are trying to do more with less. In general, just like everybody else. But the drought and well permitting has been a real challenge in the county. We've got the governor's emergency order N7-22 regarding well permits that we're dealing with. We've got the public trust doctrine. Other challenges are annual fire season and illegal cannabis. And so our goals for 2024 are hire and retain environmental health staff to pre-2008 level. We're not getting a whole lot of applicants. I can tell you I was thrilled to get hired with the county back in 2001. When I came to interview, I thought people would be lining up to get up here. This is a beautiful county. We're looking to obtain state water board approval for our LAMP. And our LAMP is our local area management plan. And the regional boards kind of gave all the counties a one-size-fits-all regulations for on-site sewage disposal. And so the LAMP gives every county an opportunity to try to make the shoe fit. And so our goal, we have a real successful program in the county. So our goal is to fulfill the regulations and keep business as usual as much as we can. But anyway, the LAMP was submitted to the regional board in 2018, and we haven't had it approved yet. So Anyway, we had a longtime staff member at the State Regional Board just retire in January, Roy O'Connor. And we look forward to getting a live body down there at the state to work with us. This is my boss, Rick Dean. He says, continue to work with Supervisor Kopsev. Rick has really filled in a lot of the cracks, the upper end cracks where we're falling apart. But continue to work with Supervisor Kopsev, the State Water Board, and the Grenada Service District to implement wastewater collection and treatment infrastructure and septic receiving facility for the town of Grenada. And that's it.
Questions? Seeing none. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next.
Good afternoon, Board. Kaylee Lane, Planning Director. So I want to start off my presentation with highlighting our staffing levels. Next slide, thank you. So we have two main functions within the planning division. That is planning activities, right? So handling all of the development projects and applications within the county, and then also code enforcement. So code enforcement, they predominantly deal with compliance issues of our local laws and our zoning code. So within the planning division, we have three planner positions. Two are currently filled. We have one senior planner and one associate planner. We have had the third planner position vacant since June 2023, and similarly with other departments, recruitment and finding capable folks to fill that position is an ongoing challenge. We also have a planning secretary on staff, a planning permit technician, and a CDBG coordinator. And for code enforcement, we have three code enforcement officers on staff. Next slide. So we wanted to talk about our code enforcement case breakdowns. And so for 2023, we had 165 cannabis-related cases. We had 59 nuisance cases. So nuisance cases are usually, complaint-driven. So folks saying, hey, my neighbor has a lot of trash in their front yard and things of that nature. We had 24 building-related violations, 44 planning violations, and 3 land use violations. So those are environmental health-related things, so well and septic issues. And so for 2023, we had a total of about 600,000 civil penalties, incurred for 2023. Next slide. So cannabis case breakdown. So for 2023, we had 102 sheriff office warrant cases, 63 code enforcement in-house cannabis cases. So of the in-house code enforcement cases, of those 59 were field observations, 4 were from discovery, so folks going out on another complaint and then finding a grow on the same property. Successful abatement percentage at 45%. So those are folks that called us within their 7-day window and successfully abated on their property. So that's a pretty good percentage compared to the previous years, which I'll highlight in the next few slides. Total plants abated just north of 12,000 plants. Next slide. So I wanted to highlight both 2022 and 2021 years just so you could get idea of the historical context of these cases. So for 2022, we had 124 cannabis cases, 62 nuisance cases, 35 building cases, and 33 planning cases. Next slide. So for 2022, the cannabis case breakdown, 75 SO warrant cases, 49 code enforcement in-house cannabis cases. Of the code enforcement cases, 49 were field observation, and the abatement percentage was much lower at 18%, with plants abated at 1,574. Next slide. So for 2021, we had 156 cannabis cases, 41 nuisance cases, 32 building cases, and 16 planning cases. And so the total civil penalties for 2021 was just north of 300,000. Next slide. For cannabis case breakdown for 2021, 95 SO cases, 70 code enforcement in-house cases. Of the code enforcement cases, we had 43 from field observation and 27 were complaint driven with 630 plants abated. Next slide. planning division duties, so I wanted to highlight the wide range of projects and applications that we work on. It's a whole gamut of activities. So planning can typically be broken up into current planning and long-range planning. Your current planning is going to be your actual development application. So boundary line adjustments, business license sign-off, CEQA review, certificates of compliance, building permit sign-off, home occupations, property queries, reclamation plans, road name changes, signs, special projects, tentative parcel maps, tentative subdivision maps, use permits, variances, Williamson Act, and zone changes. With long range, those are activities and tasks related to our zoning code and our general plan and our other long range planning documents like the airport land use compatibility plan. So our long range planning activities include update of plan documents, update of the general plan, zoning code updates, development of policies and programs, and general plan amendments. Next slide. Our 2023 application, so we had 103 applications total. And so, mind you, we're down one planner, so I pretty much just have two planners working on development applications. I work on more of the technical long-range stuff and more complex projects, and so they're pretty much averaging, you know, eight a month, four each. So, and all of these projects are a significant amount of time, so they're cranking out a lot of projects, and, you know, they're very motivated and driven. But as you can see, I would say predominantly our applications from this year included ag preserve amendments. I know a lot of you have seen a lot of those throughout the year. Boundary line adjustments, and a lot of those are in tandem with our ag preserve amendment projects. Pre-project inspections, at 10, those are mostly for use permit projects, particularly our vacation rentals, right? So making sure, you know, the house is compliant, there's no issues, so folks can rent those out as a vacation rental. And let's see, I guess our third highest would be use permits at 11. Next slide. So for 2022, we had 124 applications submitted, and similarly to, you know, this past year, ag preserves and boundary line adjustments, fairly high. Our camping permits at 26, and that predominantly is due to fires, right? So folks that are obtaining those camping permits after, you know, the fire season. Next slide. 2021, we had 127 applications submitted, 46 BLAs that year, and 21 vacation rental permits submitted, and I believe that was around the time that moratorium, the 2.5 acre, was instilled, so a lot of folks at the year end, you know, got in those permit applications prior to that. Next slide. 2023 planning project. So I just wanted to highlight some notable things that we worked on. The Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project, I know you all remember that one. The use permit and EIR was approved this past year. We also started the vacation rental ordinance update, so hoping to get that done within the next few months. That will be heard at the Planning Commission actually tomorrow for their recommendation, so you guys will see that again soon. We had our housing element certified and adopted, and we also started our 2030 general plan update, estimated completion date at the beginning of 2026, so that is a multi-year process. And lastly, the Tamper Ridge mine closure, that was a long-standing mine issue within the county, so we happily were able to get that all closed at the year end of 2023. Next slide. Williamson Act, so I'm just going to highlight, you know, 2023, we had a total of 525 contracts within the county, so that is an increase to last year, predominantly, you know, based on our guidelines that the contracts must be correct property owner, right? So Bernadette's worked tirelessly many, many hours to clean up the program, and so now we have more projects or, you know, contracts to manage. Of the 525, 91 are multi-owner contracts, so those are ones we're still working through to get them into compliance. A total of 415, 366,000 acres are under contract. And related to the surveys that we send out every other year, 840 surveys were mailed and 699 were completed and returned. So in 2023, we had 23 contract amendments totaling at about 27,000 of fees. 11 were processed and approved. 3 on hold with issues. They need BLAs, 5 are incomplete, and 4 are still in process. There was, let's see, 1,471 acres issued a non-renewal this year. Next slide. Surface and Mining Reclamation Act mining program. Our mining program is also a really significant program, similarly to Wellington Act within our planning division. So in 2023, we have 28 active mine sites. One is abandoned and required county closure. Two are in process of reclamation, one by the owner and one by the county. Three new sites are in process, and we have five proposed amendments in process with annual fees billed at $35,000. Next slide. Our Community Development Block Grant Program, CDBG. So the Slater Fire, we were awarded $950,000, and so this was grant for four low and moderate income families to rebuild homes lost to the fire. One has been completed, one roughed, framed, and two are expected to break ground in January. And secondly, our Wood Smoke Reduction and Heating Replacement Program, totaling at $404,669,000. This was up to $10,000 in grants to replace inefficient and highly polluting wood-burning heating devices with new EPA-certified devices. 15 were installed and 15 are in the pipeline to be completed. Next slide. 2024 Outlook Planning Priorities. So just to highlight a few, JH Ranch, they submitted their plan development amendment, so that's going to be a pretty, you know, significant lift, so that's something we're going to be working on this year. We will be finishing our vacation rental ordinance update, continuing on with the general plan 2050 update, continuing on with the Williamson Act program, and, you know, trying to clean up those issues within the program. We will continue with staff training and AICP certification, and lastly, to become fully staffed. Next slide. Staff training and enrichment. I just wanted to highlight, you know, planning is very complex, robust field, and so we're constantly wanting to learn, become better, be aware of federal, state, local laws, and all of that. That's changing constantly. So we are constantly looking for training, but just to highlight a few that we recurringly take, CEQA training, that's always super helpful, right? Subdivision Map Act training, surface mining and reclamation training, and UC Davis actually has a pretty great continuing education program of everything planning under the sun. So we try to take those classes when we can. And then for myself, I'm in line to take the AICP certification for American Institute of Certified Planners. So with that, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? I just have one quick question on SMARA. Do the pit owners, I know all of them don't have it, but do some of the pit owners have like a road fee? For the amount of product that they haul on road, on county roads?
Yeah, some do, not all.
And do we? Can you explain why there's a fee for some?
Well, there's a great explanation, but essentially when they got their use permit, it was part of the conditions of the use permit at the time, so the HART is one of those examples. They have to pay for using the road.
If they're using
the impact on the county roads to haul.
So where I'm going with this is any of the material being hauled off the Klamath? Is there any fee for that?
No.
Okay,
no.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I think you're going to finish it up.
I'm going to finish it up. We're about 30 minutes so past our 8 minutes allotment.
You know, banking on you to get me.
Sorry. So, definitely, we needed to address these meat and potatoes. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. You can look through this information, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it's where we are financially with each of the divisions. And I won't labor this too much, but building department, pretty clear there where our graphs are, what's going on. Expense side has gone up by design, right? We've got two additional positions to deal with the workload that we have. And right now, with the team that's in place, is doing a pretty good job of that. And I think we need to maintain that. If the board so chooses, the second page there basically is the general fund subsidized portion of that, right? So we're basically in the 40% range that is now currently being subsidized by the general fund for the building part. This is information for you. I'm not asking for any direction at this time. Something to mull over in your brains. So.
Okay.
staff.
Mm-hmm. Is that a result of the fires?
I'm sorry?
Is that a result of the fires?
What the building, the decrease in revenue is, yes.
Okay. I assume something that wasn't true.
Yeah. Environmental health, Dan hit on some of the history with that. In the past, very well staffed. Before the division into community development with public health, at that time, environmental health had 10 staff, public health had 10 staff, behavioral health had 10 staff. And you know what's happened, how these things have evolved. Environmental health remains stagnant and even below levels that we had with a much greater workload. That said, we are not tied to the general fund. We are a combination of fees and also from realignment dollars. Prior to CAO Terry Barber's departure, she recognized that environmental health was in dire straits. Basically, we're operating in between $100,000 and $250,000 in red. Sat down, had a meeting with public health regarding realignment share. Projections that we did, 44% of that realignment was a break-even point. Conversation boiled down to 40% was allotted for environmental health, 49% for public health, and 11% for the jail. So that, there's a graph of what was been coming in, right? Recognizing it's not going to cover our cost. Internally, we chose not to fill the environmental health director position for a little over 2 years to try to accumulate some of those dollars staff savings. Since then, we've had a very difficult time maintaining staff. So basically, our salary savings has put in a position where we're doing okay. I do want to note that in 2021, however, I was advised that 40% would be reduced, which it was, 35.6.
Where did the other percentage go?
Public health.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Set back by that, let me just say. Planning division, this is the hardest to crack here. Backing up, right? Cause and effect. We haven't addressed the building department fee since 2008, haven't addressed planning fees since 2009. And now planning is pretty much all subsidized by general fund. With the latest salary increases and so forth, that we have to accommodate. We just did 90% of the planning department was subsidized by general fund.
So I can expect something to be brought back to address that?
Yeah, this, at this point, this is information for the board. Mull it around, see what you're comfortable doing. We'll take care of it.
You're not going to get to zero. We get that. But
yeah. And historically, planning has been heavily subsidized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we can't keep getting, spread can't keep getting away.
Yeah. And, right, you let us hit for a decade. That's what we get. Right?
Well, we need to, you know, not just these fees, I think, all universally across the. Or we should keep in sync with these every couple of years, so when we do have to do something, it's not this big, enormous hit.
Right? Right. Yeah. Well, we went through that with environmental health, right?
Right.
Yeah. So basically, we were taking in about $350,000 a year for permit fees. We had a long, long time to address it, and it was a 40% across the board increase to get to that 50% goal.
Right.
Yeah. And we're pretty close to that right now with the current staff level. And that will change also. Okay? Anne Marie, thank you so much for pulling up those slides.
Any questions for Ray?
Okay. Well, I was going to just say I appreciate all the effort that's going on in all your departments.
Yeah.
We've made great strides.
Yeah. Thank you. And apologize for the additional 35 minutes.
You're right.
You're the only one that ever apologizes.
Yeah. If your budget's fat, we'll take you there.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. All right, Wendy, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on here and get to item 9D, County Council.
So this item is an ordinance amendment that adds language to subsection C1 of section 10-14.100, and it declares a public nuisance and is simply meant to ensure that the county can refer cases involving unlicensed commercial cannabis activity to the Attorney General. And that creates additional opportunities for collaboration with the state for civil enforcement actions, and those actions would be under the Business and Professions Code provisions on unlicensed cannabis penalties or California's unfair competition law. And as noted in the agenda worksheet, this arises because AB 1684 was recently adopted, and it amended the statute that authorizes the county's imposition of administrative fines. And under that legislation, if a local agency passes an ordinance under the section and that ordinance declares commercial cannabis activity undertaken without a license pursuant to the Business and Professions Code to be a public nuisance, then the county is able to refer those cases to the Attorney General.
Questions for council?
I would be so moved if there's no questions or comments.
A motion so far.
Just trying to catch up on time.
The recommended motion, correct?
Recommended motion.
Okay.
Second?
I have a second.
And I made a note here that we can hear it on the 2nd of February. Let me just double check that.
On the 6th of February?
Yes, we would have time to publish if I go right back and do that this afternoon.
Okay.
We can hear it on the 2nd.
That's part of the motion.
That's
correct.
What I'm going to shoot
make
for.
Her, second is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And this All is right. For the hearing.
For the second
hearing.
The public hearing for the second reading, yes. All righty. Supervisor Hell?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cups?
Aye. Item 9E, County Council.
So this is a resolution related to property liens. And for background, on December 5th of 2023, the board amended two separate chapters of the Siskiyou County Code to remove administrative approval of property liens as one of the various mechanisms the county uses to collect unpaid administrative fines. One of those chapters that was amended was Chapter 14 of Title 10, and the subsection that was repealed was adopted in 2020. So between 2020 and 2023, the board authorized recording notices of property liens through a series of 5 resolutions. And those resolutions are addressed in this resolution. So moving forward, county staff will now rely on the mechanisms such as debt collection, civil actions, or small claims court to recover unpaid administrative fines. And in light of this, a resolution is now being brought forward for your consideration that would rescind the previous authorizations in 2021 to impose property liens under former Siskiyou County Code Section 10-14.100G3 and would direct the clerk to file notices of rescission of lien. It would leave the uncollected fines as a debt and would direct staff to recover that unpaid debt through other mechanisms available at law. And the resolution also directs the community development director to file notices of rescission for the notices of property lien that he recorded under the authority of former section, code section 1-5.09L3 for property set forth in attachment A and to collect the debt through other mechanisms available at law as well. And correction that I'd like to make to the resolution is that it references the date as January 16th, 2023 today, and that should be 2024.
Okay, you got that, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
Questions for council? No, I'm looking for action with the amendment.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Oh, hold second.
I have a second.
Okay. Supervisor Hell?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Popson.
Aye.
One quick question. Do you have a hard copy with the new date? If not, are you okay if I just make it by hand?
I'm fine if you make it by hand.
I can do that.
Okay. We'll move on to item 9F, County Clerk. Cancellation of our March 5th meeting.
Yes, March 5th is going to be the presidential primary election, and the clerk's office would love to have as much coverage as we can to assist voters and take calls and et cetera that happens on election day.
So do we want to move it to the 12th? Is there anything from the county administration that matters one way or the other?
I don't see anything. My only question would be, do we plan on possibly having a Klamath special meeting that month for March?
For March.
We have anticipated that we would.
The 26th?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So would be 12, 19, and 26 for meetings in March. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. I don't think we should just have one meeting for the month. We're going to have.
I would
to
say
have,
the 12th.
Yeah, we're going to have to. I know we'll conflict with LTC, but
move
we'll just have to deal with
3-5 to 3-12.
Get LTC.
Yeah. Well,
they
have, if they have to. Yeah. So you need a motion to that effect. So move to March 12th.
I just have to look at the comment. There's a Lost River working group. For water issues, we could do that on the second Tuesday. This takes priority of board meetings too. So we do you know the morning or afternoon for a board meeting? Do you guys know for LTC yet?
We're
going
to move LTC.
We're
going to
move that. You're going to move LTC.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
If we have to.
Yeah.
And this would be in the morning.
Normal
board
time,
meeting.
9 a.m.
Okay. So I do the motion on the floor.
Second.
And I have a second.
Alrighty, so that's 3-12 instead of 3-5, March 5 at 9 a.m. All right. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa?
Aye. Okay. Item G, 9G, County Clerk. Postpone personnel hearing?
Oh, yes. We originally had a personnel hearing for an appeal of termination filed on behalf of a sheriff's office employee scheduled for February 7th, 2024. On January 3rd, the clerk's office received a request to postpone the personnel hearing to a date either in May or June, and I heard from them a little bit later that the June date was preferred. I don't see June up there.
What's the June date? They say May or June, but they don't say a date.
No, no. And I don't know if you remember, I want to say they were talking about a
full day
hearing. So I think the February 7th option was a non-board meeting date.
Yes.
So what do we have in June would be 4 and 18 would be our regular meetings.
Correct.
I know one of those will be recommended budget. Sometime one of those
it's
meetings
usually
in June.
The 4th.
Either the second meeting.
The 18th.
18th?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so
it shows the 19th is a holiday, but we don't take that one.
What about
no,
okay. What about the 5th or the 12th on a Wednesday? I don't know how board members feel about that.
I'll have a Sierra Nevada Conservancy
on Wednesday.
Put the 5th and the 6th.
And what about the 12th?
Possible.
Yeah, but how's everybody else?
June.
Yeah, June.
June 12th or 15th?
Yeah.
That's actually the two calendars.
I don't know. Do we have an LTC on the 11th?
I have it in the but you know schedule, but whether we have one or not is another story.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, the following week would be best for me because like
the 19th
would be the best.
Okay.
And we've decided that is not a county holiday, correct? I can see it red. I just
it
can't
says
see.
Juneteenth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's not a regular county holiday.
So
okay.
We're going to go for June 19th.
Okay. Start time. Shall we do 9 a.m.? Okay.
And so we have a motion and a.
Yes.
We have a motion. I'll second it.
Okay, so that would be for setting this February 7th now. We're going to move it to June 19th at 9 a.m. And June 19th is a Wednesday. Okay?
Correct.
All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye. We'll recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This is item 10A, public comment. Any public comment in-house? Seeing none, any online?
None online.
None online, no public comment. Item 10B.
Good afternoon, Matt Parker, Natural Resources. This item is to fill vacant seats on the groundwater advisory committees. I have a list of names. If I need to read them off, let me know.
It's on our worksheet. These are correct.
These are correct. Yes. And staff's recommendations, so if there's no questions, I could recommend approving those individuals.
No. Sure. Supervisor Howe. Or Commissioner.
Can we verify this? Ms. Schaefer, a QBIR employee?
Correct.
Do you need these individually or can we combine them?
We could take them all in one, I believe.
You're okay with that?
I'm good with that, yeah.
So I'll entertain action from the board to appoint these positions. Cube Valley, Shasta Valley, and Scott Valley.
As written out on the worksheet, correct?
Yes, as it's yep. On the worksheet.
We'll do it.
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second.
There we go. Okay, Director Help?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Okay.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Kopsev?
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Back to item 11A, County Clerk, scheduled vacancy for Callahan Water District.
Yes. This is one that was continued from the last board meeting. These are appointment of two members to scheduled vacancies on the Callahan Water District. These are terms ending December 3rd, 2027, and two members are needed to establish a quorum. Last meeting we did make some appointments to create quorum. This one we hadn't heard from the people who are interested. Since that time, I've heard from at the clerk's office Cheryl Hayden as well as Brenda Herleman and a new person, Hope Evans, and I've verified that all three of them are eligible to serve as registered voters and living within the district.
Move to appoint all three.
We can only pick two.
No.
The district would have the option to make a third appointment after they've got their quorum.
Okay.
So right now all we need is two.
The first two.
What's that again?
The first,
two.
Hayden and
yeah.
Herleman.
Herleman.
Appoint. Okay.
Second.
There we go. All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye. Item 12A, the Supervisors Committee Assignments.
Yes. This is just going over what you
yep.
want to do for this year.
So I... anything, I'll start down there. Anything Supervisor Chris could change?
No,
you're good.
I'm good. Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren?
Supervisor Huff and I have had a discussion, and it looks like perhaps I will take over being alternate for RC person.
We'll have to redo that, I think. Because that's.
Oh, that comes
yeah.
from them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that. I don't know if we need to address. RCRC somehow to get that in the works,
yeah.
but at this point, what we did back in October or November,
December, I think.
December,
November,
maybe,
November,
somewhere
yeah.
in there,
yeah.
it is set for 2024.
Right.
Ah.
So we'll have to come back, we'll revisit that.
All right.
Okay. Because I don't think we can do it on this.
Correct.
These are assignments.
This is
okay.
just for
okay.
basically the local stuff
All
that
right.
we do.
So, Haley, would you make a note of that to bring it to the next? Board meeting on the 6th, and we can deal with it there. You may have to reach out to RCRC, but it shouldn't be a big deal. It's just a formality. Okay? So other than that, that's it?
Yeah, I think you might need to change the Collier Interpretive and Information Center. It says alternate. Bob Rice was the name.
I thought Grace was.
No, she's for Fort Jones, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I think she reps Fort Jones, yes.
Yeah, she's Fort Jones rep. Okay.
So we need to change alternate to delegate for you?
Yes.
Okay. What else?
That's good enough.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt, anything besides the one RCRC?
No. Well, I don't know if there's room for it, but I'd like to have some assignment with the airport work that's going on, primarily because we have a lot of business going on with the Happy Camp Airport for next year closure, and it's pretty hot.
Is there a name for the group?
No, it's
an ad hoc.
It's, yeah, it's, I think so far it's been kind of at will. Supervisor Overton and myself have been working on that, but it doesn't mean that you can't insert yourself in a different venue when it starts on that side of the hill. Is that where you are more concentrated on? And I think what we should do is just have the discussion here with the full board, and maybe that we have the airport issue brought here, since it's after today's presentation, it's going to be a little more dialogue and involved. So I think we just schedule it here all together, and that way it'll, then we can all have.
Then we all have input.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine. I just I'm really concerned about what's going on at the camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understood.
You know, with the understanding the Forest Service and our county office.
Yeah. Understood.
Understanding the.
So Haley, I don't know how to capture that in an agenda item. We're going to have an update on weed on the 6th, but
well, can we have the conversation then?
Yeah, I think bring it there. I think
at least start it.
There should at least be a monthly item on airports. How's that for a while here? And maybe we'll start it on the 6th and let staff know that, so that it may encumber more than we airport. It should be all airports that we're going to have that dialogue on.
Airports in general?
Yes. Okay, does that work?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Can I jump back?
Yep.
question, should local transportation commission say commissioner instead of delegate? Is a question.
I can do the delegate to that commission.
Is that?
I think that's how we've done it historically.
And then on criminal justice partners, mine says alternate as of 1/16/18. That's probably not.
I don't know that we've heard anything from them in a few years.
I wasn't here in 2018.
Right, so right. I think it just transferred
just
over
transferred
from
stays that way.
Yeah.
In that
okay.
spot, in that.
Okay.
Position.
I just didn't know if those dates were okay legally.
So, okay.
Yep.
Supervisor Valenzuela and I are going to make a switch on Prism. He's going to take over the alternate, and I'm going to give it up.
Alternate.
I've been trying to give it up for too many years.
And that's for Prism?
Yeah. So you'll eliminate me and add him.
Okay.
Anything else on you, Supervisor Valenzuela? So with that, I'm looking for a motion to approve that.
As discussed.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I still have this 5-town COVID plan on here.
Yeah.
It's never...
It's been there,
it's been
I think, as long as I've been here.
I've been on that for 9 years. There's never been anything.
What have you done to
do? I don't even know who they are.
I do have something in with council on a few entities that we don't know if they're still in existence or not. I suppose we could add 5-County Coho to that one. I know the clerk's planning on bringing that forward at some point, whether we still need them on the books or...
Yeah, we don't want to vacate it in
no,
case
just,
they are still.
Well,
right, right.
Nice
but I
know
I've got
yeah.
something out there.
I don't
just
know who the
entity is.
I've never had an email.
Absolutely.
Never had a phone
okay.
call
okay.
in 9 years.
Okay.
So,
Wendy. Supervisor Chris should be an alternate for LTC, not a delegate.
Or LTC, not delegate.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, looking for a motion to approve what we've done on the committee assignments.
And if it's okay, then I will bring the COHO back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Move to approve with all the changes.
You should bring the COHO
okay.
back.
Second.
So Valenzuela and Hubsa?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. All righty. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hubsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
Lastly here, minute approval for December 12th. We've
did
gotten it cleared up.
I believe so, and that motion sounds correct. Right?
Yes. It's been clarified.
Yes, that it wasn't an alternate
right.
motion.
It was an amended motion.
Not an amended motion, that's what it was.
Okay.
It was an interesting...
we've had quite the dialogue on
yes,
behind
yeah,
the scenes.
Yeah, something I hadn't really...
Robert's Rules of Order doesn't allow the amended, they don't allow a substitute.
Correct.
Believe it or not. Anybody else want to see this here? So you.
So we're not making changes as we anticipated,
no,
possibly,
right.
for the last go round. And I engaged Maggie Chu at RCRC to get her opinion, and it was very helpful for what she provided.
Okay, looking for a motion on December 12th. There's no changes, it's what
at this
it
point,
is, right?
Correct, yes.
You don't want an amended motion?
We...
I'll make...
You're going to make an amended
motion?
No.
Motion made.
As presented, correct.
As presented.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cox?
Aye.
Thank you.
Board and staff reports. Anything from staff? This is your moment. Okay. Board reports, anything? Supervisor Howe?
No. Go to somebody else.
Sure. Last week on the 11th and 12th, I traveled over to Humboldt County and took two leadership classes through the California State Institute, one of which was Leadership Fundamentals and Public Service Values. And I can't think of the other name offhand. I can't find it. But it's a program that, and there was over 40. Supervisor Chris, I know you've taken these classes. And my goal is to get the certificate, credential certificate, so I can... And have the guy come up here and hand it to me in front of all of you. It was
a photo op.
Oh yeah, always looking for the photo op.
Be there.
Yeah. So there was a couple from Del Norte, four from Trinity County, 35 plus from Humboldt.
Okay.
Supervisor
Ogren.
Last Wednesday, I attended a COC advisory board meeting in the afternoon. Missed the LTC meeting. Fish and Game Commission meeting last Tuesday night. The 9th Fire Safe Council meeting, SISC Fire Safe Council meeting on the 10th. Went up to Iron Gate for a visit for the drawdown on Thursday morning. That was very interesting. Cradle to Career for Siskiyou retreat Friday morning from 8:30 to 1. And then talked with a few folks regarding SB 395. Friday afternoon, Supervisor Kopseff and I had that conversation. That was very productive. Leaving Thursday afternoon and Friday for North Coast Resource Partnership quarterly meeting over in Ukiah. That'll be this, the end of this week. That about covers it.
May I ask the Fish and Game Commission, was that county or state?
County.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, for me, California, the Oracal RC&D, and then the RCNDs have reformed in California to recreate the California Resource Conservation and Development Council, and I represent Mark Collin on that. And we met, we've hired someone local from the Dunsmuir area, which is going to be the executive director of the California RC&D. And we got a grant from NRCS to try to find a pipeline for recruitment into that particular job. So we're getting that going again with some funding. It'll be bare bones. Mark Collis is the fund administrator for it right now, the grant administrator. But it's nice to get that going again. I did go to a meeting a while back, and there were three supervisors on it, three county supervisors that were part of the RC&D in their area. So that was interesting. One even skipped his board meeting to go to the RC&D meeting. So that, yeah, it does even actually, you know,
your meeting must be pretty boring.
But it was pretty cool to have that. So, yeah, it is a great tool we could use. Different things going on there. They'll benefit Siskiyou County, but the whole organization in the state as well. Volcanic Lake, Scenic Byway, we met. Things are progressing there. There may be a request for donations from counties and city governments, but I have explained that, and another supervisor from Lassen County has explained that it's awfully hard to get money from the county. It's better to do it from the businesses and those entities that are gaining from it. Try to explain that to them. Klamath ESA consultation meetings that are what they are. And we've met for that, Tri-Counties, the Lost River Working Group, which is kind of a tangent off of the Klamath project. There's a group of people within the Lost River Water Basin working on potential solutions there. It's one of those, you know, take small bites of the big elephant and solve those issues. McLeod is working on the Pacific Forest Trust. South McLeod has successfully received grant funding and is doing community outreach for a field break. We've already done all the mechanical work, and we're going to be doing the live fire coming along, and they're educating the McLeod community what it's going to be. And the field break that will give will be great protection from the cloud from the south coming fire. Sierra Sacramento SSE, I believe. And then we found out about a COPCO town hall that was put on by KRC and Res, attended it. And another presentation that they gave on the air removal and search.
How did that go?
Went all right. One thing that KRC's done is they've I had a woman up there give me a photo album. They gave tours for the COPCO residents of the removal process, what it's going to be. It wasn't a big turnout of folks, probably a dozen total that were there. But Ren from Res, and then Dave Muir, and another gentleman from Ren from KRC, and Dave Muir, another gentleman from Res. They did talk about fence going up to keep the wild horses and stuff out of the revegetation area around the Iron Gate, the top building to revegetate it. They were going to tie it into a cattle guard. But they said the fence would start at the cattle guard and not be between the houses around Copco Lake. It would start, it would be on that end to pass the last house. Those are the things we talked about. Trying to think of all the other things. The vegetation coming in. They didn't want people to go down there for a little bit because of the muck. The docks are still working on. The land ownership still hasn't been decided on who's retaining it. And those sorts of factors. I'd have to look at all my notes. Okay. The presentation went fine. And I brought up some of the county's concerns and needs that need to be addressed.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
There's a couple things. I had a coordination meeting with the Leadership Forest Service last week, so we're, you know, we're beginning this process with the Land Management Plan Division that's coming out of this administration. The major comments are due in June on that, with, from what I've seen so far, probably a significant economic impact to the county in wanting to promote a pretty restrictive old growth policy within those forests across the region, and I'm a little confused by what they've released so far and that they've lumped the Northwest Forest plans in with the Sierra Nevada plans, which two different animals, two different habitats. Historically, the southern province of the Northwest Forest Plan, which was Roseburg South, recognized the fire influence in those forests, which was more congruent with the Sierra Nevada habitats, but it was never recognized through regulation. And I don't quite know what they're doing or where they're going with this. The I met, been working with the Greenhorn Grange, and I met with OAS as well. We're looking at maybe establishing another evacuation center for Scott Valley using the old Grange infrastructure that's over there. Of course, there's grant processes through OAS that we're looking at to bring something up to speed for those folks over there, because we have no place to go in Scott Valley for people that are severely compromised by smoke over there. I was on the dam tour with Supervisor Ogren last week. It's quite eye-opening to me when they opened the lower head gate, if you will, on that dam, and the amount of muck and pungent garbage, actually, that was going down there. And I was told that letters have been sent out to my constituents downriver about anticipated flows and sediment, those kinds of things. I haven't seen one of those letters, and I haven't had any reaction from anybody down there yet. I have been watching the gauge at SIAB, graphic I've got pulled up here that I don't know if Elizabeth or Rick has looked at. The gauge at SIAD actually records sediment. And since they opened the gate, contrary to the public release that they've had on the news in Channel 12, is they were short-lived.
That's before current. And after?
That's the day they opened the gate.
Huh.
And this is today.
Wow.
So, contrary to the public release, the sediment hasn't slowed down. I can't tease out how much of that is their claim that it's McKinney fire. I can't tease that out of that gauge, but there's a significant amount of sediment going down the river still. This afternoon, I have a conference meeting with the District 2 maintenance supervisor with Caltrans regarding Highway 3 snow plowing and safety hazards. And that haven't been addressed with the last series of storms actually reaching back into last year. That's all for me.
Okay. I attended the County Fish and Game Commission meeting in Lake Chestina. Attended the Local Transportation Commission meeting. Met with Supervisor Ogren with regard to SB 395, the roadkill bill, with Senator Dowley's office in Weed, trying to get funding for that position. And also attended in Gazelle the mountain fire restoration proposal that they're working on for just not only where the mountain fire was, but also the restoration. And I think I sent it to you, Supervisor, how it goes into the McKinney fire as well.
Yeah.
So
appreciate that.
With that,